In this presidential campaign season, with one party promising to build a bridge to a prosperous future, and the other promising to liberate us from the burden of taxation so that we can make decisions about what to do with our own money, it's interesting to be reminded of one of the most famous campaign promises of all time. In 1928, the Republicans, who held the White House, nominated Herbert Hoover, who pledged to continue the policies of President Coolidge. Continued GOP government would lead to unprecedented prosperity. And that prosperity, they said, would be symbolized by two chickens in every pot. Business historian John Steele Gordon recalls that promise in an article in the current issue of American Heritage magazine. His article is not about politics or presidents, it's about chicken. When the Republicans used that phrase, Gordon says, they were speaking of a chicken dinner as something of a luxury, as people had done for centuries.
They got the phrase from Henry IV, King of France, who promised that he wanted a kingdom where no peasant was so poor that he couldn't afford a chicken in his pot on Sunday.
100 years ago, you've written, when one could not afford chicken to eat at home, you just had to settle for steak or lobster.
Right. Well, lobster was very cheap in those days.
Well, what has accounted for the remarkable turnabout in chicken going from delicacy to, I guess, as common and inexpensive a meat as we can eat right now?
It's just about the cheapest quality protein you can find, animal protein. And the reason, basically, is that the chicken became industrialized. In the turn of the century, chickens were raised in very small flocks in millions of farms, and the commercial channels between those millions of farms and the urban marketplaces were very long and convoluted, and, of course, each step of the way extracted a price. And so chicken might, in today's terms, would cost upwards of $10 a pound.
From the start, you write, the thing that attracted people to chicken, just to keep them in the first place, wasn't so much their meat, but first of all, that they were living alarm clocks and they could wake you up in the morning. The roosters could anyway.
Right. I mean, I happen to have a rooster and three hens myself, and the rooster wakes me up quite faithfully, I promise you.
And also their aggressiveness, which made them the birds that people use for a sport that the government's been trying to stamp out for years.
Called cockfighting. And, you know, to this day, if you go up to what is used to be called Spanish Harlem in New York, up north of 96th Street in the east side, at dawn, you will hear cocks crowing. And I promise you, they're not there for a chicken business.
So chickens were these creatures from Asia originally, I gather.
Originally from Southeast Asia, from India and Indochina. And they are called jungle fowl. They're mm-hmm. still very common. You can find them easily. They're beautiful little birds, but they're weigh about 2 pounds when they're mature. But I imagine they would make very tough eating.
And these were very, very late creatures to be domesticated.
Yes, they're among the last of the major domesticated animals.
So if you take us back several decades here, I gather a farm that had chickens at the turn of the century would have just let them run around and fend for themselves and pick up whatever grain had spilled from feeding other animals.
Right, and they would usually just nest in the barn and, you know, find their own nests, and occasionally weasels and foxes and what have you would find them, and they'd lay their eggs wherever they felt like.
In those days, you write, a hen could be counted on to lay about, well, 30 eggs a year.
Right.
Today?
Now, today, any hen that doesn't lay 250 eggs a year is going to be off to the cat food factory in short order.
How did that happen? How were hens made so much more fertile and productive in terms of eggs?
It was genetic engineering, in a sense. I mean, they just selective breeding. I mean, the best egg layers were the ones that whose eggs were selected to be hatched.
And when you talk about industrialization, to me, just as staggering as what happened with the broilers is what happened with the egg farms. And not just having a couple of chickens, each of which will lay 30 eggs a year anymore, but metropolises of hens.
Absolutely. I mean, upwards of 10 million hens in an egg farm is nowadays not unusual, and a farm that size will produce about 500,000 dozen eggs per day.
There are all sorts of little oddities in the stories of chickens. For example, in housing so many chickens together under one roof, the question of their aggressiveness obviously arises, and people at one point found that red light would therefore, for some reason, cut down on their aggression.
Right. Well, this is mainly in the egg factories because the chickens that are raised for meat don't live long enough to get very aggressive. But the egg factories, they're confined 4 or 5 to a cage, and chickens have what are called pecking orders, and they're always pecking each other to determine who is top chicken. And they found that red light dissuaded the chickens from this behavior. Unfortunately, people can't work in red light very well. And so at one point, they actually tried putting on little red spectacles on the chickens so they'd see red light, and made some very amusing pictures in Life magazine. But it didn't turn out to be very practical, maybe because chickens don't have ears. And then nowadays, they're experimenting apparently quite successfully with red contact lenses, which they insert into the chicken's eye, and they found that it can lower the price of eggs by as much as 0.3 cents per egg, which in the egg business is a great big drop in price.
So if either of the major presidential candidates, or for that matter, one of the others running, were to promise people today that as a sign of great prosperity, we should all have our chicken every week, not much of a promise.
Not much of a promise, no. He's sort of like promising free air at this point.
John Steele Gordon's article, The Chicken Story, appears in the September issue of American Heritage magazine.
So many chickens, well, you know, telly clucks all in my brain.